نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. سورة الأحزاب آية نمبر 28. يا أيها النبي قل لي أزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالينا أمتكن وأسرحكن سراجا جميلا. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say to your wives, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come, I will provide for you and give you a gracious release. This ayah was revealed because after victories, wealth started coming into the Muslim state, and the Azwaj asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for better living conditions. The pressure started mounting on Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this ayah, and he said, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come, I will provide for you and give you a gracious release. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told to say that to his wives. But if you should desire Allah and his messenger and the home of the hereafter, then indeed Allah has prepared for the doers of good among you a great reward. There was still much work to be done, and the Prophet and his family, may Allah send his peace and blessings upon them, were the leaders of the Muslims and they were examples for them. So Allah is telling the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, do not become distracted by all of this money that is coming in, but you should continue to focus yourself on Akhirah, focus yourself on aiding and helping Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, focus yourself on the home of the Akhirah, because that is much better. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses them himself. Ya Nisa An-Nabi, O wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever of you should commit a clear immorality, for her punishment would be doubled twofold, and ever is that for Allah easy. Hurting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ill manners with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, impatience with him, that was al-fahisha. Obviously, we can never say about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen that it was anything beyond that. The general meaning, the common meaning of fahisha is crossing limits, all immorality, immoral behavior meaning rude behavior, unacceptable behavior. So as the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, became difficult, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended him and sent down these ayat. And then in the next ayah, Allah encourages them. And whoever of you devoutly obeys Allah and his messenger and does righteousness, we will give her her reward twice, and we have prepared for her a noble provision. So if they made a mistake, if they committed a sin, then the punishment would be double. But if they were righteous and they obeyed Allah and his messenger, their reward would be double that of other women. Ya Nisa An-Nabi, Allah again speaks to the women of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech to men. Another meaning has also been given. You are not like any women if you fear Allah, so do not be soft in speech. And since the Ummahatul Mu'mineen are our mothers, they are our role models, it is understood that if a woman fears Allah, any woman fears Allah, then she would not be soft in speech to men. Why does Allah say that? Lest he in whose heart is disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech. So women are ordered to be careful in how they speak to non-mahram men. Do not be too soft in speech. Do not speak in a lilting tone, in an inviting tone, laughing at their jokes. Allah says, but speak with appropriate speech. So non-Muslim men and women are obviously in Islam allowed to speak to each other because that is a practical need of the world. But Allah says it should be appropriate. You should not use bad words. You should neither be rude, but speak in a polite, a positive manner. Allah says, "And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance." Allah says, "Wala tabarrajna tabarrujal jahiliyatil ula, al jahiliya, the days of ignorance before Islam." And Allah says, "Do not do tabarruj." What is tabarruj? Tabarruj means a tower. Burj means a tower. Basically, in our everyday language, it means to be decked out, to doll up, primp, beautify yourself. How do women do that? Hairstyles, makeup, jewelry, fancy glittering clothes, flashy colors, redolent perfume. Allah says, this is jahiliya, this is ignorance. Noble women of a high status in society would not dress up like that. And if this is the dress code, the mode of dress of women in jahiliya, then after Islam, no woman would want to dress up like that. And that is exactly what the other women also did. They followed the Ummahatul Mu'mineen because they were the role models. Just as the Prophet ﷺ was a role model for everyone, the women especially became role models for other women because there are certain things that only women can teach others. The Ummahatul Mu'mineen were commanded to stay in their homes. But if there was a need, they did go out. And just like today, if there's a need for education, there's a need for a profession, then women are allowed to go out. But the condition is what? وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى. Do not be ignorant and dress up like the women of the kuffar, like the women of the past Jahiliya era. And establish prayer and give zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification, Ahl al-Bayti, the people of the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. According to some narrations, they were the Azwaj, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ali, Fatima, and the sons, radiallahu anhum jami'a. The members of the Prophet's family, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were supposed to be focused on akhirah. They were supposed to be focused on obeying Allah and His Messenger, to establish salah, to give zakah, to conduct themselves in the best possible manner. And then Allah also says, and remember what is recited in your houses of the verses of Allah and wisdom, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle and acquainted with all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala watches every single thing. And He wants the members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family to behave in a certain manner that was exemplary. In fact, through these commandments and what the wives learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they became our teachers. A majority of the Islam has been taught to us from the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, particularly Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah then says, "Innal muslimina wal muslimati wal mu'minina wal mu'minati wal qanitina wal qanitati was sadiqina was sadiqati was sabirina was sabirati wal khashi'ina wal khashi'ati wal mutasaddiqina والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. Indeed, the Muslim men and Muslim women, the believing men and believing women. There's a difference here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala notes, He tells us that there are Muslim men, they're believing men. They're Muslim women and believing women. What is the difference? Muslim is someone who has accepted Islam, who is following the basic tenets of Islam, the five pillars of Islam. But the believing person is someone who truly believes, and they start making their choices according to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they fear the account of the last day. This is the description given by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself in Sahih Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, the obedient men and obedient women, the truthful men and truthful women, the patient men and patient women, the humble men and humble women, the charitable men and charitable women, the fasting men and fasting women, the men who guard their private parts and the women who do so, and the men who remember Allah often and the women who do so. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his dhikr, he also adds the adjective kathiran, wa dhakirina Allaha kathiran wa dhakirat. Dhakirina, the men who remember Allah much, and dhakirat, the women who remember Allah much. But Allah says kathiran, multiple times, going beyond, extra. May Allah make us of those, ameen. So those who remember Allah much, men and women, for them Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward. This is what we need to aspire to. However, every single person has his or her own special ability. Some people will be more charitable than others. Some people will be better at fasting than others. Some will be more patient than others. But we need to acquire somewhat of all of these qualities, particularly obedience and humility and patience. Allah says, "It is not for a believing man or a believing woman when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter that they should thereafter have any choice about their affair. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly strayed into clear error." What a clear ayah. Now let's ask ourselves a question. Has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decided all matters? Yes. Has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided all major matters? Of course, because he himself said that I have taught you everything that is going to take you to Jannah and save you from hellfire. So now that everything has been decided and clarified for us in our deen, Allah says it cannot be that a believing man or a believing woman would do something else, would do other than the injunctions of the Quran and the Sunnah teach us. Allah says the clearest error that you cannot have any doubt about is disobeying Allah and His Messenger. We seek refuge in Allah from being of those. Ameen. And remember, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you said to the one on whom Allah bestowed favor and you bestowed favor, keep your wife and fear Allah, while you concealed within yourself that which Allah is to disclose. Who was the one upon whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam bestowed his favor? Zaid bin Haritha. He was kidnapped and sold as a slave when he was young. Khadija radiallahu anhu gave him to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a gift. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam freed him and he adopted him. In Medina, he married him to his cousin Zainab radiallahu anha. Her brother and Zainab radiallahu anha herself were concerned because there were social differences between them. After about a year of marriage, Zainab radiallahu anha still could not adjust. So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and wanted to divorce Zaid bin Haritha. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Zaid bin Haritha, "Keep your wife and fear Allah." And then Allah says, "You said this to him while you concealed within yourself that which Allah is to disclose." What was that? A secret that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew, that Allah had commanded to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry Zainab after Zaid divorced her. This was to show that a man can marry a woman who was formerly married to his adopted son. This was unheard of and was absolutely scandalous in that time and era. So Allah says in this ayah, "And you feared the people while Allah has more right that you fear Him. Do not care, do not worry about what people will say, but fear what Allah has commanded." So when Zaid had no longer any need for her, Allah says, "We, Allah, married her to you in order that there not be upon the believers any discomfort concerning the wives of their claimed or adopted sons when they no longer have the need of them." Meaning that fathers can marry the wives of their adopted sons after they have divorced them or the adopted son has died. And Allah also says here, "We married her to you." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala performed their nikah up in the heavens, the nikah of Zainab radiallahu anha and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Arab society was such that marrying someone who was nine was just a simple part of their culture. It was not unusual at all. But marrying the wife of your adopted son was culturally unacceptable. Allah says, and ever is a command, meaning decree of Allah accomplished. There is not to be upon the Prophet any discomfort concerning that which Allah has imposed upon him, meaning or permitted to him. This is the established way of Allah with those prophets who have passed on before, and ever is a command of Allah, a destiny decreed. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shying away from having to do this. He did not want to do this at all. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whatever He wills, whatever Allah wills, always comes to pass, and it did. There was a huge uproar in the community, particularly amongst the disbelievers, the Jews and the hypocrites. But Allah then says, Allah praises those who convey the messages of Allah and fear Him and do not fear anyone but Allah. And sufficient is Allah as accountant. Accountant, Allah will take an account. So if someone works in the cause of da'wah, someone works in teaching Islam, someone wants to invite others to Islam, they cannot fear anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have to be thick-skinned. They have to completely trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they should know that there will be obstacles in their way, many difficult challenges. But people who start fearing the pressure of human beings can never do da'wah, can never bring other people to Islam. May Allah make us strong for His sake. Ameen. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the father of any one of your men. This point was also important to establish, because if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left a son behind, real or adopted, the community would have anointed him as a king after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away. The Khilafah would not have been established, but kingdom would have been established. So Allah says, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not the father of any one of your men, but he is a messenger of Allah and seal of the prophets, wa khatam an-nabiyyin, a clear ayah that says Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the absolute last prophet, and ever is Allah of all things knowing. Anyone who has ever come afterwards to claim prophethood is a false prophet. Allah says, Ya ayyuhallazina amanuskurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who have believed, remember Allah with much remembrance. Again Allah says, dhikran kathira. Wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila, and exalt Him morning and afternoon. It is He who confers blessing upon you, and His angels ask Him to do so, that He may bring you out from darknesses into the light. And ever is He to the believers merciful. Angels make dua for us. Alhamdulillah. Their greeting, the greeting to the believers. The day they meet Him, Allah will be peace, salamun, and He has prepared for them a noble reward. O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of good news and a warner and one who invites to Allah by His permission and an illuminating lamp. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described so beautifully by Allah. He is Sirajam Munira, the bright burning lamp. Allah says, wa bashiril mu'minina, and give good news, congratulate the believers. Bi anna lahum min Allahi fadlan kabira, and they will have from Allah great bounty. And do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites, but do not harm them, and rely upon Allah, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. O you who have believed, when you marry believing women and then divorce them before you have touched them, meaning consummated the marriage, then there is not for you any waiting period to count concerning them. So provide for them and give them a gracious release. The dowry, the mahar, is to be half of what was obligated in the contract. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed we have made lawful to you your wives, to whom you have given their due compensation, meaning the bridal gifts, mahar, and those your right hand possesses from what Allah has returned to you of captives, and the daughters of your paternal uncles, and the daughters of your paternal aunts, and the daughters of your maternal uncles, and the daughters of your maternal aunts who emigrated with you, and a believing woman, if she gives herself to the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if the Prophet wishes to marry her. This is only for you, excluding the other believers. Other believers are only allowed to have 4 wives at one time. The Prophet ﷺ had more than 4 wives at a given time, and that was because he had to make alliances with different people, tribes and nations. Allah then says, "We certainly know what we have made obligatory upon them concerning their wives, and those their right hands possess, but this is for you in order that there will be upon you no discomfort, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful." So in case the believers had this question in their mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers it. You, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may put aside whom you will of them, meaning divorce them, or take to yourself whom you will, and any that you desire of those wives from whom you had temporarily separated, there is no blame upon you in returning her. That is more suitable, that they should be content and not grieve, and that they should be satisfied with what you have given them, all of them. And Allah knows what is in your hearts, and ever is Allah knowing and forbearing. The pressure from the wives had amounted to such an extent that the Prophet ﷺ temporarily separated from them for about 30 days. This was called the incident of Ila, meaning he made a vow not to be with his wives for a month. It was a combination of the wives asking for worldly things, material things, and also jealousy amongst themselves. So he wanted to show them that the worldly life was unimportant for him, and to teach them a lesson, and to decrease the jealousy amongst them. So he moved out and started to live in an arbor called Mashraba. The Sahaba panicked because they thought that he had divorced all of his wives. But then the Prophet, peace be upon him, explained himself to them. After these ayat were revealed and 29 days had passed, the Prophet ﷺ returned to his wives. Upon that, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, you had said you were going to stay away from them for 30 days. So he smiled and said, a month can be 29 days as well. Alhamdulillah. Aisha radiallahu anha also said that a portion of this ayah that says that they should be satisfied with what you have given them, all of them, included worldly things as well as his time allotment, because they used to argue about who would spend more time with him. They all loved him, and it was his habit to ask his wives to spend time with them. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it away from the wives and left it in the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was equally just, loving and attentive to all of them. But he acknowledged to Allah that he loved Aisha radiallahu anha the most. He had no control over his feelings. Allah then says, and Allah knows what is in your hearts, and ever is Allah knowing and forbearing. Halim, Allah is very tolerant. Not lawful to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are any additional women after this, because now the Ummahatul Mu'mineen had been given a warning that they would be divorced from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam if they caused him any more harm. So Allah says, now either keep them or let them go. And then he tells the Prophet, peace be upon him, not lawful to you are any additional women after this, nor is it for you to exchange them for other wives, even if their beauty were to please you, except those your right hand possesses, and ever is Allah over all things an observer. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, Allah addresses the believers. O you who have believed, do not enter the houses of the Prophet, peace be upon him, except when you are permitted for a meal without awaiting its readiness, meaning be there on time. Do not be there before you are invited. But when you are invited, then enter, and when you have eaten, disperse without seeking to remain for conversation. The night of the Walima of the marriage of Prophet, peace be upon him, and Zainab radiallahu anha, the Sahaba sat and sat and sat and would not leave after dinner. This was troubling to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because his wife was waiting for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended the Prophet, peace be upon him, outside of his home and inside of his home as well. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was too kind and too well mannered to say anything on his own behalf. Allah orders the Sahaba, "But when you are invited, then enter. And when you have eaten, disperse without seeking to remain for conversation." Indeed, the behavior was troubling to the Prophet, and he is shy of dismissing you, but Allah is not shy of the truth. We need to follow the same protocol. We should not arrive at people's homes when we are invited before the time of the invitation, because the hosts are not expecting you. And we should not stay too long as well, unless they absolutely insist, but people should get up and get ready to leave after they have eaten. Also, because when we stay and just start chatting and spending time with each other endlessly, it gives rise to fitna from shaitan. People will start indulging in backbiting and making fun of others, gossiping. May Allah save us from that. Ameen. Allah says, "And when you ask his wives for something," the Prophet ﷺ, "ask them from behind a partition. That is purer for your hearts and their hearts. And it is not conceivable or lawful for you to harm the Messenger of Allah or to marry his wives after him ever. Indeed, that would be in the sight of Allah an enormity." Umar radiallahu anhu, whose one of his daughters was also married to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hafsa radiallahu anha, he wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to cover themselves completely behind a veil. The reason was all kinds of people came to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his homes. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayat that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam should not speak to anyone except from behind a veil. Allah says that is purer for your hearts, the hearts of the Azwaj, and their hearts, the hearts of the men who would come to visit the Prophet or who were around him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that there would be no doubts, and so that they would never consider anything inappropriate about the wives of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And after that, the Ummahat al-Mu'mineen became unlawful for all men and became the mothers of the believers. Allah says, "Whether you reveal a thing or conceal it, indeed Allah is ever of all things knowing." So questions arose that how would they deal with their mahram relatives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "There is no blame upon them concerning their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their brothers' sons or their sisters' sons or their women or those their right hands possess," meaning slaves, "and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is ever over all things witness." So be careful, Allah says. "Indeed, Allah confers blessing upon the Prophet. Inna Allaha wal malaikatuhu yusalluna ala nabi. Indeed, Allah confers blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his angels ask him to do so." This shows the great status of the Prophet, peace be upon him, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself sends peace and blessings on him. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Then Allah addresses us. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Sallu alayhi, ask Allah to confer blessings upon him. Wa sallimu taslima, and ask Allah to grant him peace. The blessings of the durood. There are many ahadith relating the excellence of sending blessings upon Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From Sahih Muslim, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "He who sends salat on me once, Allah will send salat on him tenfold." Musnad Ahmad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "Send salat on me, for it is considered an act of zakat for you, and ask Allah to grant me the high rank of paradise." What is that? Maqamun Mahmud. Abdul Rahman ibn Auf said that he had once asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "O Messenger of Allah, you made a prostration so long that I was afraid that Allah had taken your soul during it." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Gabriel came to me and gave me the glad tidings that Allah the praised and exalted says, 'He who sends salat on you, I will send salat on him. And he who greets you, I will greet him.'" When we say salam on the Prophet, peace be upon him, during our salah, "Assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyu," Allah will say salam on that person. According to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best time for sending salat on him is a day of Friday and it's night. He, peace be upon him, also said, "The miserly person is he who hears my name mentioned, but does not send salat upon me." Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, heard a man supplicating without praising Allah or sending peace and blessings on the Prophet, peace be upon him. At that, the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, "This man has made haste." Then he called him or someone else and said, "If one of you supplicates, makes dua, then let him start with glorifying his Lord and praising him, then sending salat on the Prophet, peace be upon him, then let him ask Allah whatever he wishes." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged using the time that we make dua for sending peace and blessings upon him so much that one sahabi said he will replace all of his duas by simply saying, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahabi ajma'in." Among the morning and evening askar, the remembrances are also sending peace and blessings on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 10 to 100 times. There's great benefit in them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us. Ameen. At the other end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, "Indeed, those who abuse Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and the hereafter and prepared for them a humiliating punishment." May Allah save us and our generations till the end of time from this. Ameen. "And those who harm believing men and believing women for something other than what they have earned," meaning deserved, if they have not deserved it, and someone is harming the believing men and believing women because why? Because of their religion. Allah says, "They have certainly borne upon themselves a slander and manifest sin." Ya ayyuha nabiyu, قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. O Prophet, peace be upon him, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers to bring down over themselves part of their outer garments, jalabibihinna. That is more suitable that they will be known. They will be known as chaste, believing women and not be abused. They would be known as noble women. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. This ayah, as we have discussed, was revealed before the ayah of Surat Nur was revealed about the khimar, or the head covering. So we learn that the first major hukum, the first major ruling of the dress of women, was to wear something as an outer garment when they would leave their home. At this, the sahabiyat, the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, would cover their heads with blankets, with chadars or large cloth. Some of them would cover their faces completely, and others would bring it over up until their foreheads and cover their clothes with it. So this is like an outer garment, what we would know today as an abaya or a jacket or a shawl. And Allah says that this is a mark of believing noble women. The purpose was to differentiate them from other common women so that they would not be teased or propositioned in public in the streets. Allah says, "If the hypocrites and those in whose hearts is a disease of internal fahisha, internal vulgarity," Allah says, "those who spread rumors in Al-Madina do not cease, we will surely incite you against them. Then they will not remain your neighbors therein except for a little. Accursed wherever they are found, being seized and massacred completely. This is the established way of Allah with those who passed on before, and you will not find in the way of Allah any change." This was a severe warning not to say anything inappropriate about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen and the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says then, "People ask you concerning the hour. Say, knowledge of it is only with Allah. And what may make you perceive? Perhaps the hour is near. Indeed, Allah has cursed the disbelievers and prepared for them a blaze abiding therein forever. They will not find a protector or a helper. The day their faces will be turned about in the fire, they will say, 'Oh, we wish, how we wish we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.' And they will say, 'Our Lord, indeed we obeyed our masters and our dignitaries, and they led us astray from the right way. Our Lord, give them double the punishment and curse them with a great curse.'" On that day, people will regret that they had not obeyed Allah and His Messenger. We seek refuge in Allah from being of those people. Ameen. O you who have believed, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, be not like those who abused Moses. Then Allah cleared him of what they said, and he in the sight of Allah was distinguished. The two Sahihs record that Abdullah ibn Masud said, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam distributed some spoils of war, and a man among the Ansar said, this division was not done for the sake of Allah. I said, O enemy of Allah, I am going to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam what you have said. So I told the Prophet about it. His face reddened sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, may Allah have mercy on Musa. He was annoyed with worse than this, yet he remained patient. What amazing self-control. What a beautiful reply. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids the believers, and he says, O you who have believed, be not like those who abused Moses. Do not create hardship for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hurt him with your words or your behavior. The children of Israel annoyed Musa alayhi salam as well, and they started saying at one point, he keeps himself covered all the time because he has some defect in his skin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed the perfect skin of Musa alayhi salam one day. One day he was bathing and took his garment off and placed it on a rock. The wind blew his garment away and he had to run after it. So the people saw that he was unblemished. Allah cleared him. Allah says Allah cleared him of what they said, and he, Musa alayhi salam, in the sight of Allah was distinguished. Wajiha. Allah says, O you who have believed, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice. He will then amend for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa man yuti' Allaha, and whoever obeys Allah wa rasulahu and his messenger, faqad faza fawzan azima, has certainly attained a great attainment. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, ameen. The believers do not speak in a crooked way, in a roundabout way, in a confusing manner. They always speak what they mean. They always speak the truth and stand up for justice. Allah says, if you do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will amend our deeds for us. Allah will improve our deeds and He will forgive our sins. We must watch our tongue. We must be careful in how we speak and what we say. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy upon us. This is part of obeying Allah and His Messenger, and this is the path to great success. Allah says, indeed, we offered the trust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they declined to bear it and feared it, but man undertook to bear it. Indeed, he was unjust and ignorant. What is this trust? The obligations of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reward and punishment. Allah says, the heavens, the earth and the mountains did not want to have a choice because they feared that they would not be able to fulfill it. They would not be able to fulfill this amana, to be true to it. So why did man undertake to bear it? Because man coveted its reward and forgot the penalty for failure to keep his commitment. The trust was what? We promised Allah that we would worship Him alone and we would obey Him. And we have to fulfill that trust. We have a promise that we have to fulfill and complete. But Allah says, man is unjust and ignorant. We do not fulfill our trust as we ought to fulfill. But why was this choice given to us? And why did Allah permit us to accept this choice? Allah says, it was so that Allah may punish the hypocrite men and hypocrite women, and the men and women who associate others with Him, and that Allah may accept repentance from the believing men and believing women, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Remember, the greatest mark, the greatest attitude of a hypocrite is that they are not trustworthy and they never fulfill their promises. They do not fulfill their covenants. It is hypocrisy to say that I obey Allah, whereas I don't. And shirk is a great betrayal to Allah as well, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and He alone is our Rabb. Yet people give to others, people make dua to others, people sacrifice to others than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They thank other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the greatest betrayal. Allah says that this trust was given and allowed so that the believing men and believing women would be given the opportunity to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from not betraying Allah, but from falling short in obeying Allah perfectly, from falling short in fulfilling this trust. May Allah forgive all of us. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen.